Elizabeth Warren, an Indian joke, or will she be a contender? The best of the best of crazy clips and a whole lot more coming up on this edition of The Uprising. Hit it.
LibertyNation.com. They're the resistance, but we are The Uprising with Scott Cosenza and Tim Donner.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Hey, a president. Can you believe it?
I love the poorly educated.
The voters have guaranteed themselves slavery, economic disaster.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
I have never met with Russians.
Our elected representatives can abuse subordinates and then secretly use a slush fund of our money to pay them off.
The media resorts to personal attacks without any content other than to incite anger.
2019 greetings, podcast fans. This is Lisa K. Donner, editor-in-chief of LibertyNation.com, and with me today is Scott Cosenza, legal affairs editor, and I am told by some not to say you are Scott D. Cosenza because they think that's a capital D, small e, capital C, which you are not.
No, just the standard.
So thanks so much for joining us. Scott, I will say, is our lead podcaster, in my humble opinion. He is really good with the genre. But today we have a full slate for you. First of all, we have Elizabeth Warren, 69 years old, senator, Democrat from Massachusetts. The question is, will she have a fighting chance against Donald J. Trump? Scott.
Who knows? She seems to be the anti-candidate with stumbling all over the multiple introductions that she's keep trying to make to the American people. So that seems unlikely. But whoever will the Democrats choose, they will have the support of the entire legacy media behind them. So that's no small thing in terms of the amount of money it would take to buy that ink. I mean, you could say that probably the reason Trump won was because he had all that free ink on the Republican side. So,
right. But now he's no longer an anomaly, and they're not going to give him nearly as much coverage as they did. But I'm wondering, what do you think of announcing your candidacy for the President of the United States on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, it seems like a ridiculous thing to do. So for people who don't know, Elizabeth Warren live streamed on, was it Facebook or Instagram, her exploratory committee announcement on New Year's Eve in an awkward kind of attempt at hominess, I would say, where she got herself a beer and said, hold on a minute, I'm going to get me a beer, for instance.
Are you kidding?
You didn't? No.
Get me a beer?
I'm going to get me a beer. Yeah. She also referred to her father as daddy and some other things that seemed pretty contrived. Seemed like an off step, certainly laughable, especially in light of the DNA Indian testing. You'd think that these things would be more circumspect in terms of their announcement times. But yeah, more importantly than all of that is the ruinous policies that she would have implemented if she were actually elected president of the United States.
All right. Let's talk about a few of them. She is pretty much a progressive.
Can we just say socialist? I mean, why is that a dirt? I mean, are we not allowed to call people who are socialists socialists?
That's fair enough.
Yeah, she's a total socialist. She thinks that she has some proposal that she wants to enact whereby large companies that I think 30% of the board seats, you know, I should get this down before I malign it, but I'll just say it's like 30 or 40% of the board seats should go to the workers who have bought zero shares of the stock and have done nothing other than take the money that they're given in exchange for their labor at a fair exchange, or else they'd go somewhere else. But for Elizabeth Warren, that's not fair.
Does she come off as the Bernie in 2020, Scott?
Bernie seems to have a little more credibility. I mean, don't forget, Elizabeth Warren was paid $350,000 by Harvard for teaching one class. You know, Bernie's been on the taxpayer dole forever. But not to that tune. And he just seems to have the credibility, I think, of being in the trenches, at least, rather than the Boston Brahmin sort that Ms. Warren makes me think of.
All right. To quote one of the great movies of all time, which I always watch on New Year's Eve, like she went to Harvard.
Exactly.
Is that where she learned how to say, get me a beer?
That might have been at Penn, where she also, I think that was the first place that she ginned up her Indian bona fides in order to elevate herself among the competition so that she could be an affirmative action candidate, which is like manna and gold for these Ivy League schools.
Do you know if she has ever worked in a job, you know, a J-O-B, where she was stroking a check versus just signing the back of one?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't think so. And I do know that both of us would be Ivy League professors if we were women of color.
All right.
Or I guess that still counts for the Indians.
Yeah. Power women of the 21st century. So let's talk about a little bit about the Democratic Res, short for reservation. Who are the contenders?
Well, the number one choice still seems to be Hillary. I think that there's a disconnect now between the mainstream media portrayal of Hillary Clinton, a future Hillary Clinton candidacy, and the Democrat rank and file feeling about a Democrat, about a Hillary Clinton candidacy going forward. The powers that be at CNN and MSNBC clearly have moved on from Hillary and don't think that she's going to be the candidate. But I don't think the people of the Democrat Party agree with that. I still see a lot of support out there for Hillary from these primary types. So,
all right. So we got Hillary, you think, is going to run. We have Cory Booker, who is sure to run. And he is very emotionally, I think, unstable, this guy. We have Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Biden?
Joe Biden is probably the second, I would say, seated pick. The former Vice President of the United States seems to be unfazed by the fact that he'll be over 80 years old if he in his presidency, and also has a lot of handsiness issues in this Me Too, post-Me Too world. And I think it's important to remember, we're not talking about who people who are registered as Democrats would like to see in the White House. We're talking about who writes the checks and comes out to the Democrat primary events. That's who's going to control this process. So for those people, that's who we have to be mindful of guessing their preferences.
Right. But this time, the socialist on the Democratic side has an opportunity to really go ahead. Last time, the rules were such that Hillary basically had it wrapped up with the superdelegates. Now, they've changed that somewhat.
Well, yeah, the cheating, too. Don't forget about that. So they cheated for, you know, they fettered the debate questions. There was a lot of other, it wasn't just the superdelegates that helped Mrs. Clinton along.
Right, but that was a big part.
Right.
I mean, she had...
it was a big part, but I just always want to mention that they cheated for her. In addition to cheating, in other words, so there's two types of cheating. There's cheating to manipulate the rules in a dishonest way, which I think they did. And then also, they broke those rules themselves. But Bernie's going to be a main candidate if he wants it. I don't know. Has he expressed a strong interest in...
Not that I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Elizabeth Warren is the Bernie candidate.
Bernie's wife has some troubles with her engagement. Yeah. She is a former college president. Is that right?
That's correct.
And engaged in some land transactions with the college's money that were... I don't know if they benefited her. Either they benefited her financially, personally, or just were mismanagement in a way that... They may not welcome the increased scrutiny that comes with an additional presidential run. And I know they have several luxury houses that have come to light that people are paying more attention to now.
Yeah, a little shady. She's got a little shady stuff going on there for sure. So do you see anybody coming forward? Let's get to the second tier. The Michael Avenatti's, the Oprah Winfrey's. Yes.
Well, let's not place those two in the same.
Okay. All right. But. What do you think on the second tier before we move on?
Well, Avenatti, I think, is done. And good riddance.
Toast? Like in the crisp?
He hasn't delivered on any of his promises. So if Stormy Daniels, we'll see how that wraps up. He could come out smelling like a rose, I suppose. It's possible. But he said that he, for family reasons, is pulling out. And actually, he was mocked on Twitter by the family reason is, of course, he was charged with domestic violence. But then somebody, I think it was maybe his ex-wife or a relative, actually said, this is for family reasons. We've asked him not to. So In any case, but Oprah, though. Now, that's a question. Oprah Winfrey could generate her own self-funding to get the campaign started. She has no problem writing herself a check. Mm-hmm. She's got the name recognition, and she sees what Donald Trump was able to do with celebrity. Now, I can't claim that I'm originated this thought myself. I had heard somebody else talk about this, but Donald Trump has spoken of running for president for, what, 30 years now? Mm-hmm. And he has examined issues of, you know, how he would be as president for 30 years. So right. Oprah Winfrey is a very smart woman. I have a lot of respect for her intellect, but for somebody who hasn't thought about public policy from the perspective of being someone who controls public policy, I don't think that makes them a great president or probably a great candidate. At the same time, though, connecting with people is her number one gift. And she's the best, maybe the best that ever existed at that.
Yeah, and her communication skills are amazing. And a lot of women really like her.
Yeah, love, actually.
Yeah.
Not just like her, mm-hmm. love her. And, I mean, until she comes out against strongly, I mean, the only negative thoughts I have about Oprah Winfrey are when she supports politicians and causes that I dislike. Otherwise, there's nothing disagreeable about her. So that may be new for her, too. I mean, appearing on stage in support of the Obamas is a little bit different than actually telling people, hey, we're going to take away your X, Y, or Z, which she will have to do as a candidate. So that'll be interesting to see. But right now, she's, I think, in a universe where most people just fawn over her. It's going to be a bit of a challenge to run for president.
Yeah, anybody from the business world that you see
that Starbucks guy
throwing their hat in the ring?
Maybe that Starbucks guy, Howard Schultz, I think is his name. He's talked about it. And I don't know if we count Michael Bloomberg as the business world because he straddles politics as well. But he may go as well.
Alrighty. Well, the reason I keep saying contenders like Rocky Balboa is because you're from Philly,
mm-hmm.
right? And it was interesting watching the ball drop the other night, just a little side note. And I realized that all those pop culture singers, et cetera, I don't know. So I thought maybe I should explain to those who are younger than me who Rocky Balboa is. Can you give them a little
That primer? Needs an explanation in 2019
well,
still? Really?
I think so, yeah.
The new Rocky movie, I think, was in major release. Rocky Balboa is the greatest fictional fighter that's ever lived. Son of Philadelphia, to be sure.
To be sure. All right, so let's move on to crazy clips, the best of the best. Now, who do you have? We're going to do just two categories. One is the best soundbite of the year. One is the runner-up. And then we will have the quote of the year. I would like you to start with your runner-up for the best soundbite of 2018.
Okay. Now, best is used... not in a way to indicate that I think this is great for the body politic or anything like that, but it just...
Well, these are crazy clips. We can be funny.
Yeah, and here we go.
Well, here's what Swetney said about Kavanaugh's alleged behavior at high school parties on NBC Nightly News tonight.
Can you describe to me what you saw him do?
He was very aggressive, very sloppy drunk, very mean drunk. I saw him go up to girls and... paw on them, try to, you know, get a little too handsy, touching them in private parts. I saw him try to shift clothing.
Are there people alive today who would say, I went to those parties with
yes,
Julie?
Yes, there are people that know about those parties.
Well, Kavanaugh has vehemently denied Swetnick's allegations, saying he doesn't even know who she is, and NBC News has not been able to independently corroborate her claims. Well, Avenatti provided the names of four people he said could confirm her account. One is dead. Another says he does not remember Julie Swetnick at all. And the other two have not responded to NBC News. Well, meanwhile.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Chris Matthews just put it out there a la The Inquirer.
It's total bullshit is what he just said. Mm-hmm. NBC News ran it in prime time just to damage Kavanaugh and abandon anything remotely approaching an actual professional news organization. And that's Chris Matthews for you, and that's Michael Avenatti for you. You get a twofer on that one.
All right, my runner-up is Mika and Barnacle Mikey on Morning Joke.
Think about that. Nearly half of the people in this country approve of the job this man is doing, even after Charlottesville, porn stars, his humiliation in Helsinki, bowing to Kim Jong-un, ripping babies from their mothers, calling Hispanics breeders, destroying America's most critical alliances, and bankrupting our country. And we could go on.
I would submit that the acceptance of a deeply, deeply, deeply dishonest president, the acceptance of that among people is the single most important issue of our day.
All right, here's the thing that blows me away about that. Mika is not all that bright. She's not going to be Mensa. I don't even think she comes up to Oprah's IQ numbers. It sounded to me, and I have spent many years in television, sounded for all the world like her little soliloquy there was on the prompter.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, Barnicle says, and I think the thing to remember is that Trump is three deeply dishonest. So if you're only two deeply dishonest, presumably like Obama, or two and a half deeply dishonest like President Clinton was, Barnicle doesn't have an objection to that. But if you're deeply, deeply, deeply dishonest like Trump, that's where it becomes a problem when people support the president.
Yeah, and Barnacle Mike doesn't have any issues with dishonesty. Mm-hmm. We were not going to go back there. All right, who did you choose for your number one crazy clip of the year? Da-da-da-da-da-da!
This is...
I expect the men in this country... And the men in this committee, and many of them, believe me, because we all signed on to this letter to demand an FBI investigation. But really, guess who's perpetuating all of these kinds of actions? It's the men in this country. And I just want to say to the men in this country, just shut up and step up. Do the right thing for a change.
Just shut up and do the right thing for a change is Hawaii Democrat Senator Bigot Mazie Hirono's message to the men of the United States of America. Shut up and do the right thing for a change.
Wow, is that woman married?
I don't know.
God forbid, her husband.
Mm.
That is really vile.
It's
that
so disgusting, right?
Yeah.
Can you? I mean, it's just that to say that there's no credibility for people who don't have anything to say about that, but who think that a comedian's set in front of a paid audience should result in their banning or something like that is we're through the looking glass here.
That's really vile. All right, my number one crazy clip of the year. Hit it.
The White House has held only three briefings for the press this month and eight total since the end of May. There is no other way to describe what the White House is doing these days. Wolf, top officials, including the president, are hiding from the press. And Wolf, just to give you a sense as to what's happening right now, you can hear there is a chorus of boos and other chants from this Trump crowd here in Tampa, Florida. They're saying things like CNN sucks, go home, and fake news. Wolf, obviously, all of those things are false.
Oh, Jimmy Baby, Jimmy Acosta, who single-handedly managed to stop the White House briefings because of his horrendous behavior. No dignity, no tact, no, you know, he felt it was important to always preach his message to both Sarah Huckabee Sanders and President of the United States.
Well, he's crying all the way to the bank, I think. Another one who... he's gunning for his own show, his own platform, his own whatever, and asking the president probing questions and hoping to get a follow-up is not the way you get that on CNN. It's, you know, he rose, the big press conference where all the kerfuffle occurred, he rose and said, I want to challenge you, Mr. President. Those were the first words out of his mouth. It's not a conference designed for challenging. It's ask a question and report the news.
The reason I picked this clip is because I think it's so damn funny.
I mean, yeah, it's great when they're when they have to face the people.
Right, right. And they're in these little ivory towers, mm-hmm. and they go in and out of their Upper West Side or Kalorama behind the fences homes, mm-hmm. and they have no idea that there are people out there that don't agree with them.
It's a nice comeuppance, and I appreciate that the Trump crowds always let them know where they stand.
It's really a beautiful thing. Okay, give me your quote of the year.
Well, this clip is not about politics or anything like that. It's just the best thing that ever happened in 2018 and maybe, I don't know, can go back pretty far before that.
Okay, let me guess. Syria?
I'll tell you the date, and you can guess then. Mm-hmm. It occurred on February 5, 2018.
Wow. That's a while back.
Brady lines them up. He's back again. He steps up. He's hit. He stumbles. He is throwing it deep for the end zone, and it is batted around and incomplete. And the game is over. The game is over. The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions. Eagles fans everywhere, this is for you.
All right, so
Do you have goosebumps like I do when you hear it?
I actually sort of do, and I grew up in Pittsburgh, home of the Steelers. But anyway, so we started the show with Rocky Balboa, mm-hmm. and we're coming down the stretch with the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should call this the Philadelphia story.
There you go.
All right, my clip is actually not a clip. My quote is the best quote of 2018 comes from Rand Paul from his Twitter feed. Interestingly, February 8th, 2018, quote, government's job is not to get you stuff or to get somebody else's stuff for you. It is to preserve your liberty.
Do you think that Rand Paul's going to try to position himself to run for president in the next, not that my years are in the 2024 cycle it would be, right?
I think he could go 2024. I am absolutely 100% convinced that Rubio goes 2024.
Mm-hmm. Did you listen to No Agenda this past week?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so this is the No Agenda podcast that we like.
Yeah.
They talked about Rand Paul's Twitter game really being stepped up and how maybe that he got like a professional Twitter writer person.
Twitter manager.
Yeah, because Twitter is so, in the age of Donald Trump going forward, that's now... It's just as important as any other communication from a campaign or candidate.
All right. So that's about it for our treaty talk this week. And that is Indian slang for white man's lies.
There you go.
Lisa K. Donner, editor-in-chief, LibertyNation.com. Please stop by our website, subscribe on our YouTube channel, and to our podcast. Scott, do you have any final comments?
Like, comment, and subscribe. All that good stuff. Tweet it out.
All right. Thanks. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.